9 through 23. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down onto the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then the voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill, eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him in a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, a man sent by Cornelius found him where Simon's house was, and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house, that he can hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guest. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks.
You're on that.
All right, so what did we just hear? Cornelius, we didn't read this part, so I'll back it up and fill you in the part. Cornelius has a visit from an angel telling him, you know, he's this righteous man. He says, you need to get to send some people to find Simon Peter because you need to find out what you need from him. So guess what Cornelius does? He sends some people to find Simon Peter. Okay. You should have got that from the second part where he's reading. All right. Now Peter has a vision. Now he's hungry. I don't know about you guys, but when I'm hungry, I dream of bacon. Which is unclean. I don't care. Because God just told Peter, there is no clean or unclean food. I can eat bacon. But Peter wasn't there yet. So the vision comes down with all these creatures, and Peter, being a good Jew, says, he's kill and eat. And he goes, nope, not me, I'm not going to do it. He says, okay, second time, here it comes, you're hungry, kill and eat. Nope, you're trying to fool me. He doesn't say that, but I think that's what's going on in the back of his mind. Finally, a third time, he says, kill and eat. Peter says no, and the vision says, if I say it's okay, it's okay. And now, coming out is, I like the way it says it in the Common English Bible. It says, when the people, because the people are now there, and he goes, Peter was brooding over the vision. Like, not just thinking about it. I get a different picture when I think of brooding. It's like, I don't like this. How can I make it work the way I want it to work? That's what I think is going on in Peter's mind. But the Spirit speaks to Peter again and says, they're there for you. Go invite them in. So he does. And he shares with them that God has showed me that all people are clean, not just Jews, but Jews, Gentiles, everyone. And that God doesn't show favoritism. Guess what? Neither should we. This whole story, I wanted to bring this back around to the beginning of it, actually. Because even though Peter was a reformer here, he learned to be a reformer from someone else. Any bright ideas who he learned to be a reformer from? And it wasn't Martin Luther. That's right. From his rabbi. His rabbi, Jesus. Jesus was a reformer. Think about it. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you Jewish, you know, you've heard not to murder. But I say, don't be angry with your brother. He's reforming the idea. It's you know, they go like, maybe if I just beat him senseless, it's okay. As long as I didn't kill him. No. Jesus says, don't be angry with your brother. Adultery. Oh, well, if I just look twice, it's okay. Or if I do other things. As long as I don't actually do the thing, I'm okay, right? No. An eye for an eye. And he says, turn the other cheek. And then he says, to hate the, he says, you've heard to hate your enemy. But I say, to love your enemy. Now, he wasn't just about preaching. Jesus was more than that. He didn't just preach the news. He lived it. Think about it. John chapter 4, he comes across, he's thirsty. He's a little tired. It's noon. He's on his way from Jerusalem to Judea, or to Galilee. And most Jews, good Jews, would go around Samaria, because you know the Samaritans, they intermarry. They aren't pure. They aren't good people. We don't want to. They had, if they bumped into one, they had to have a ceremonial washing. You think we have some discrimination? Think about that. You realize if you bumped into people today, we'd be all taking showers. We'd have a bigger water problem than we have. You'd never have any water in your place. You know? Hopefully we're getting that solved anyway. God's helping me there. But he comes. It's around noon. Now, when people would come to get water, well, by people, I mean women. They weren't really considered people, but you know, they went to get to the water back then. Guess what? They came early in the morning, kind of like had a little sharing time with each other, what's going on in everyone's life, filled the water up while it was still cool, because it was not exactly the easy job carrying this. Water's heavy. You know, what, 8 pounds a gallon? You know, it's, you get a few gallons, it's heavy. But they share, they take the water back while it was still cool. Now this woman shows up at the well with Jesus around lunchtime, around noon. The hottest part of the day there. Why is she there? Well, we'll find out. Well, Jesus is speaking with her. He says, can I have something to drink? And she says, you're a Jew. Why are you even talking to me? Y'all don't have anything to do with us. And Jesus goes on to explain to her a bit about how, you know, I have water that if you ask me that you could have, you'd never have to, you know, you'd be everlasting water. And she says, hey, I'm tired of coming to this well. Tell me about this everlasting water. And he says, well, no, that's me. And she began to understand. She said, I perceive that there's something different about you. And Jesus says, go get your husband. We'll talk about it. You know, that's how they did things back then. She says, well, I don't have a husband. She says, you're right, you don't. You've had five. The guy you're married, or the guy you're living with now, you're not married to. But no, you're right, you don't have a husband. And she goes, I perceive you're a prophet. And she's trying to, you know, that you Jews say we should worship in Jerusalem, and our people say she's trying to deflect. And Jesus tells her some more. She goes off into the city, and it says that many believed on her word alone. And others came to see Jesus. He stayed for 2 or 3 days and more learned and began to believe on Jesus. All right. Here's a woman that people didn't, in polite society, had nothing to do with. Jesus spent time with her, made a difference in her life, and she made a difference for him. Also in the book of John, chapter 7, we meet another woman. Sorry, ladies, it's that way. It's a woman caught in adultery. Interestingly, she must have been committing adultery by herself because the guy doesn't show up. But they're here. It's, the Bible says she should be stoned. What do you say? And they figure, we got this worked out. Because if Jesus says she's got to be stoned, right, the law says that, then people aren't going to like Jesus. But if he says, no, you can't do that, then they're going to say, oh, well, you're breaking the law. Jesus is smarter than that. Jesus says, any one of you out there that's without sin, you throw the first rock. And then he says he bends down and writes in the dirt. Now, it doesn't say what he wrote in the dirt, but it says the men dispersed from oldest to the youngest. So what I think he was writing was the men's sins, starting with the oldest and working his way down. And by the time he finished getting to the end of his list, there was no one there but the woman and him. And he says, where are your accusers? She says, they've gone. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Again, a person definitely caught in the wrong, but Jesus says, I can forgive you. You can still do good things for me. People that the world would not think so. Lepers. We see stories of lepers that Jesus heals. Social outcasts of their day. We have social outcasts today. LGBTQ society. Outcasts. We have immigrants that are outcasts. We have the drug addicted that are outcasts. We have minorities that are outcasts, social outcasts. Of course, I did read today, this week that by 2044, if you live that long, I'll be 84. So that minorities will be the majority, if that makes sense what I'm saying. Anyway. So, but for now they are, and they're social outcasts. And what about mentally ill people or emotionally disturbed? How do we treat those people? More importantly, how would Jesus treat those people? You've heard it said, they should be killed. I say, you without the first stone? You without sin, you cast the first stone. Where do we fall on this? Are we going to say that if Jesus was a reformer, and he was, we got to start listening to what he says? And when God calls something clean, can we call it dirty? You see, we have to learn to love and have outreach to all people. Not just the ones that look like us, smell like us, act like us. Amy and I were at a seminar, or whatever you want to call it, on Friday, dealing with the opioid crisis in America, but especially in our area. One of the presenters is a guy that spends time in Pittsburgh getting to know those people that are in the midst of their addiction. And he showed pictures of people and his, you know, they died in May. They died in February. They died all of overdoses. We have a problem. I got a thing on my email that popped up today that they found in Long Island, New York, 750 grams of, I forget what it's called, but it's a thing that they cut heroin with, enough to cause over 100,000 overdoses. Can you imagine? What are we doing? Are we ignoring it and saying that's someone else's problem? Or are we at least praying for these people? Are we looking for a way? But it's not just those that are, excuse me, dealing with opioid addiction. It's people that have other issues. What about those that have mental illnesses? Are we really, or do they embarrass us? Or do we try to reach out to them? Because there's people that are hurting and need us to love them the way God loves them. We need to learn to share God's love with everyone and let him be the judge. Because you know what? I don't know about you guys, but I'm not qualified. I'd mess it up way, way too much. So, who is it that Jesus would reach out to today? Anyone and everyone. That's it. He wouldn't pick and choose those that are fit to be saved. So my question on that is, are we truly reforming according to the Word of God? Are we? Jesus forgave and welcomed sinners. All sinners. Do we? Or just the ones that sin the sins that we are okay with? Jesus encouraged the hurting. Are we encouraging the hurting, or are we hurting the encouraged? Sometimes we seem that we fight the wrong battles. Those the world chose to ignore and abuse, Jesus accepted, loved, and reached out to. Are we? Am I? Are you? Isn't it time to stop playing church and instead just be the church? Learning to love, forgive, accept, and integrate those people in society that need to know God's love. Martin Luther pointed out some problems with the church and got him in a little bit of trouble. I'm just trying to point out today that we aren't quite where we think we are when it says that we're reformed. We still have people that need us. And we got to quit walking the other way and reaching out to those people. Because Jesus would. And that should be enough reason for us. Father, I know it's never easy to try to change how we think and look at anything, much less how we look at people. Father, open our hearts and our eyes that we see people the way you see people. That we only judge people the way you judge people, and that we do our best to love, forgive, and accept everyone. Knowing that it's not our job to judge, that's yours. And let us take that burden off of ourselves and just love them and let you make the choices. And thank you for those that have shown us the way in the past and will continue to show us the way in the future. Help us, Lord, to make sure that we follow as best we can Jesus in all that we say. Amen. In Jesus' name. I'd ask you to remember Doug McQuain, Amy's brother, Rosella's son. If enough hadn't gone on recently, after having a really good day, his Great Dane, after supper,